the Three Tomatoes Happy Hour, and we do love happy hour and the clinking of glasses and cheers to all you fabulous women who are fully living your lives at every age and every stage. And here's the best news, every hour is happy hour. So whether you clink cheers with your coffee mug or your afternoon cappuccino, remember, as the song says, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Join us for some grown-up fun, interesting and stimulating conversations that will motivate, inspire, or just make you laugh. And for more grown-up fun, visit our website, The Three Tomatoes, and the three is spelled out, and sign up for our newsletters. Now sit back and relax and enjoy the episode. Well, welcome to today's episode of the Three Tomatoes Happy Hour podcast. I'm your host, Cheryl Benton, and today we are diving into the captivating world of the reality show called The Golden Bachelor. It features Gary Turner, who is a handsome, sexy, charming 72-year-old, and seeking a fairy tale ending with him are 22, yes, that is correct, 22 women who happen to be in their 60s and 70s who are competing for his heart. But this is actually quite the twist on the traditional bachelor formula, which usually features 20-somethings and 30-somethings. But the Golden Bachelor has had over 7 million viewers tuning into this show. It is sparking conversations about love, about aging, and the pursuit of lasting relationships. So to help me explore this really intriguing phenomenon today, I have two remarkable experts in love and relationships. We have Beatie Cohen. She is a nationally recognized psychotherapist, a sex therapist, an author, and the host of the Ask Beatie radio show. And she is known for her wisdom on lasting love. Joining her is Kalyn Rosenberg. She is the celebrity love architect. I love that title. A relationship expert and author who serves as Oprah's love ambassador. And her passion is guiding people toward real love. She recently launched My Love Design, a first of its kind healthy relationship, lifestyle, and wellness platform for extraordinary humans seeking real love and a better world. So welcome, Beatie and Kalyn.
Thrilled to be here with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
I'm
so excited because I think this is going to be quite the conversation. So first of all, I have to start off by confessing I have never been a fan of the Bachelor shows, but this one caught my attention. And, you know, I really want to know what the buzz is about, and the fact that they were focusing on an older demographic is really interesting. So on the one hand, it is a celebration of older women. It shows that they are far from invisible. They're still sexy, they're vibrant, and they're open to love. But on the other hand, there's this whole competitive aspect. And what does that say about the authenticity of love? So my first question to each of you, and I'd love to get your opinion, we'll start with Kalyn first, is how does the concept of the Golden Bachelor challenge or reinforce societal stereotypes about aging and love? Kalyn.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. One thing that I've been trying to tell women, especially my clients that are 50 plus, 60 plus, even into their 70s, is that not only, yes, are there absolutely wonderful, amazing men their age that are out there who are single, who are really looking for love, but they are, yes, absolutely looking for love with women their age. It is not always the whole societal crap thing that's been out there where the men are looking for and only need and are only attracted to or desiring women that are 5, 10, 15, 20, even sadly 30 years younger than them. So I loved that the Golden Bachelor really did show that Gary, regardless of his authenticity and ability to be truly honest on many levels, was there or not, what was true and real and necessary to be seen, especially by our baby boomer single women, is that yes, they are beautiful, they are seen, they are valued, and men their age who are good and wonderful want them. So I was thrilled to see that part in it. Yeah, and I think it was necessary. It was important.
Edie, what is your thought on that particular part of this?
Well, I think that the competitive part of the show was really not an issue at all. I think it was a wonderful thing that it showed that women of all ages, 50, 60, 70 years of age, that it's never too late and you're never too old to be wanting and to be finding love. You know, I think about when I lived in Sarasota, I actually had an older clientele, women in their 70s and 80s, who were sexy, who were dating, who were having sex. And I'll tell you a really funny, quick story. I had an 80-year-old patient who'd been suffering from depression. Her husband died. And she started dating a much, much, much younger man. I was concerned that there may be some financial motivation. But I'll never forget the day Charlotte called me. And she said, listen, I need to ask you something. I want to learn how to do oral sex. And I went to her apartment, and this is the true story. We took a banana from her kitchen. Here it was, a woman of 8 years of age who was still interested in being sexual and learning some things that she'd never learned when she had been married to her husband for over 50 years of age. So I think this was a wonderful concept of really focusing on older women.
Yeah.
We all agree on that part. And I love that story, Beattie. Thank you for sharing that. So, Kaylin, I know that you've had experience with behind the scenes reality shows.
Yeah.
So, are we really, I guess we know we're not really watching all reality with this. They get cut. They need to make it more dramatic. But what really goes on and how do they balance the entertainment part with the reality part?
Well, I think obviously so much of it has to do with the integrity and the why of the reasoning of the show and then the network and then the producers. It's really based on that. So even when I was filming Love Town with Oprah and Paul and that entire team, I think that had probably some of the most integrity I'd ever seen. Yes, I always had an earbud. We all had to have an earbud so that the producers, while they were listening to us in each scene, could tell us if they wanted us to say something again or to use a little more drama or to even give us a little snippet as to what they'd like us to say. But we still had the ability to speak freely as experts and to do what we needed to do to help people and to most importantly, help the viewer. So amen to that. I do also know many producers and people at network execs and the behind the scenes and clients and friends that have worked in television. And sadly, most of it is contrived. Most of it is not that genuine or that real. And it is exacerbated by a lot of alcohol, sadly, keeping people really loose in a different part of their brain, the lower part of their brain, which Beattie would understand when working with clients. Allowing for a space where people are really being at their truest or most authentic self. And sadly for drama. And even though we can all as humans relate to drama because we all have different experiences of drama in our own lives. And so sometimes it feels good to numb out to that or to know that you're not the only one. It isn't always so helpful when we're also coming from a place of seeking something better to improve something in our lives or to understand something. And I think that there was a lot of, I think there was something really beautiful about the older women in The Golden Bachelor, where the women were really showing camaraderie that you never see in the other bachelors, right? With the bachelorettes, there was a camaraderie, there was an elegance, there was a high-fiving, a support of one another. I think that's how women need to learn to be. I love that. I love that they allowed that they seem to really hone in on that. And in general, it's not all that you see is that real.
Well, and I have to say, reality. I think one of the things that has often turned me off about reality shows like this is that they do seem so contrived and they don't feel authentic. And honestly, I know so many people love The Golden Bachelor. I'm not saying it's a great guilty pleasure, but to me, I felt there were a lot of things that did not feel very authentic at all. And Beattie, that leads me into my question for you, because I know you said there are a lot of red flags in the show. And as a relation coach, what concerned you?
Well, what concerned me was really all of his, in quotes, emotionality right from the beginning.
Yes.
And, you know, what I've learned over all of these years is that I've learned to never say I've met a lovely, honest person. The best I could ever say is that I've met somebody who appears to be honest and emotional and seemingly sensitive and open. And of course, my research and books have found that it really takes about a year to play this all out to find out who somebody is and isn't. Yeah. And at the beginning of the show, when he talked about that he hadn't had a date in 45 years, only to find out that a little over a month after his wife died, that he began dating a woman that, let's call her Carolyn, and this was all reported by the Hollywood Reporter, and that he began dating, he lived with this woman for almost 2 years, and here you have all of the red flags that emerged very, very, very quickly. In fact, this woman, Carolyn, who's not yet been identified by her real name, she contacted the Hollywood Reporter just before the final rose ceremony. And back in Indiana, apparently, she's saying, like, what is it that he's saying? I mean, he talked about retiring in 1985. That was also not true. In fact, he sold his business and has been working as a handyman and a maintenance man for a number of years. Now, people might say, well, these are little white lies, but for me, these are huge, huge, huge red flags. And the Hollywood Reporter also reported in talking with this woman, in quotes, Carolyn, that he was actually pretty emotionally abusive to her and that their relationship ended when he disinvited her to his high school reunion because she had apparently gained 10 pounds. So the red flags, they're staring us in the face. And how important it is, how careful we are who we let into our lives. And what I think has happened, you know, women like Teresa, they're lonely, they're naive, they want to find love, they want to be in love. And yet we continue to be very, very, very destructive and self-destructive because, Cheryl, we just need to look at the reality of what's going on in this country, despite all of the self-help books and therapists and love coaches, and it goes on and on. I mean, we have a divorce rate of 72% for third marriages. Three women are killed.
That every time you say that number, I'm always astounded by that one. Say that 72% of third marriages
end in divorce. 48% of first marriages, 67% of second marriages, three women are killed every single day, 20% of high school students are in abusive relationships, 30% of college co-eds are alleging dating abuse. And my concern is that we as women, we've learned nothing, basically, and I've been very, very upset that the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, the domestic violence, our national organizations, that nobody has spoken out about the admitted lies. And these are serious, serious lies that this Gary Turner person, you know, I think he thought he could get away with it. So either the vetting process at ABC was very poor.
Beatty, let me just interrupt a second because I want to ask Kaylin because she's you know, done a lot, worked in the reality TV show. Not defending that, but is it possible that the producers of that show wanted to change who he is to make that much more interesting? If they had said he started dating a month after his wife died and he's now a handyman, that would not have made him the quote unquote golden boy, you know? So I don't know, Kaylin, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. That's where it's really tough. And because there is a lot of truth potentially to that. Absolutely. I will tell you that when they vetted me to work with Oprah, to put her name behind me and to really promote my brand, I had what was considered, I think it's called a fifth degree FBI background check. I might as well have just like stripped naked and ran through the Oprah Winfrey Network and just said, have at. I mean, I've never had such a thorough in-depth. They researched my ex-husband. They talked to friends. They researched my high schools. So literally, I was a little surprised And Netflix is an intelligent, they know what they're doing. And so there is a strong probability that they kind of went la, 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 when Gary shared potentially the true story, right, and said, well, how about if we say it like this, or if you're not, or the whole thing of, you know, many times, like you were saying, Beatty, sometimes people call something a white lie. And I agree, there's no such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. But sometimes people will say, well, if you aren't sharing something, it's not a lie. If you are removing or omitting, or so I think there is a strong potential of that. And it's always important to get all sides of the equation. I do also know they're under super strict contracts. So Gary is not even in a position right now where he could say, hey, I was told right to say this or not say this, because they could sue him and they could scare the heck out of him. So these are big, you know, it's a big machine. It's a powerhouse machine, television, especially the larger networks. Right. And
well, certainly however that story ends up settling out, he was certainly presented to everyone as almost the perfect man. And I guess that's a red flag for all of us. But I do have to say, I had with, you know, and of course we didn't hear this till afterwards, but just watching him, I don't know what it was. I had something that never felt authentic to me.
And he
does way too much crying. I mean, I think it's great when a guy tries, but it never felt real. I mean, he's out in the hall. He's almost throwing up. It's like, come on.
Right.
I would say, Beatty, don't you agree that that's just, I don't know that he was trying to cry, because that, I mean, Academy Award there, if that was the case. I think that it was, I think that just shows he's really not emotionally stable.
I think that you're absolutely right. And, you know, one of the other things, of course, that really concerns me is not the network and not so much the vetting and not so much Jerry Turner, but Teresa and the women who have fallen in to the belief that we don't need to do good and in-depth assessments when in all facets of our life. I'm very concerned about her. Dr. Carol Lieberman, who is a world-renowned psychiatrist, in fact, she's going to be on my radio show this coming week. We talked, and, you know, she's been interviewed, and she was very, very clear about saying that Teresa needs to get out of this relationship. There's no question about it. And I completely, completely agree.
Okay, I want to get to that in a few minutes. I want to talk about Teresa and Leslie as well, because I think I want to get both of your takes on that, because I think it all comes in. But before we get there, there's just a couple more questions that I wanted to ask, and then I think we can get into the guts of that piece of it. So, Kaylin, I do want to ask you, as a love architect, what insights can you share? And we were talking about this a little bit before we got on today, about the dynamics of finding love later in life. And does it differ from younger relationships?
I think that, you know, it's even going to that horribly high divorce rate by the third marriage. I think that it's that what that's showing is that if we haven't learned our lessons, right, we start learning in our youth, and as we grow, and hopefully we learn and we mature and we take on more knowledge and information, and then therefore more growth. If we haven't done the work that we need to do, if we don't have the self-awareness, and we haven't found the ability to really know who we are, love ourselves, and know our value, we're going to continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. We're going to continue to ignore red flags, even yellow flags, out of fear of being alone. And that goes back to, as Beatty knows, back to childhood wounds, all of it, childhood wounds in the deepest parts of our childhood development. And that has to be worked out. And so I think that at the point of women finding men that are unhealthy, not truly compatible, not good for them, no matter the age, it's actually just the age is irrelevant, other than it just shows that they just still have not learned how to do it and to do it right, which is what my whole love architecture piece is. It's what the whole My Love Design 11 Steps is about. It's just getting you to a point of where, regardless of your age, your sex, your background, that you finally have a way without shame, with awareness and ability for hope to find the truth of yourself, find the truth of where you've been blocking and sabotaging love. It's okay, no matter where you are. It can be amazing now, amazing moving forward, but it's time to do something different. And that just was not being done.
But then there's two other things. You're absolutely right. In fact, I mean, I've identified the three things that we all need to do to never make a mistake in love again. And Kaylin, you're right. I mean, the first thing is that each of us needs to be in a good place emotionally, psychologically, psychiatrically, and do exactly what you're saying. But that's not enough. The second thing is that we all really need to learn. And it's amazing, with all the focus on mental health and relationships, people simply do not know the ingredients that go into a healthy and long-lasting relationship. And we need to wake up.
Amen.
Men, women. And number three, and again, it's not about promoting my book, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path.
Well, it is if it's good.
But the fact is that I did research with 450 people in the Boston, Providence, and Connecticut areas. And as a result of the research, I came up with a 10-step formula. And people who know me, they know I'm very bottom line. If it doesn't work, let's not waste our time talking about. So it's the formula that teaches us how to assess. And it's not romantic and it's not sexy, but it's how to actually do a great in-depth assessment, which my research found takes about a year unless there are serious red flags, as there are in this particular situation where you need to get out, to really find out who somebody is and isn't. Yes. And we cannot fast forward this process.
Well, you know, you're both on the same page with this. And I think it's so important what you said about is, you know, your own self-assessment first, knowing who you are, and then really spending the time, you know, asking, to your point, BD, the right questions, getting to know who this person is. It's, you know, it's not this, you know, that magical lust high that people have at the beginning of a relationship. So I think there's and you're right, and it is frustrating to see that people keep making the same mistakes over and over again. It truly is. So I want to ask another question. I know we were talking about the competitive situation of the show, which honestly is something that bothers me a lot. But BD, I know you said that didn't bother you so much. So let's talk a little bit about that. These women competing for this golden guy. What is your take on that, BD?
In life, we compete.
All the time.
Competition, absolutely, Kaylin. I mean, competition is a way of life, which is why I thought it was so great that the women seemed to really come together and support each other, or at least they appeared to come together and support each other during the course of the show. But as I said, that for me is really a non-issue, the competitive part of what went on, because that's life. We compete in every facet of life for our jobs, and in all kinds of ways.
All right. Yeah. Yo, Kaylin, go ahead.
But I think it has to stop. As unrealistic as that might sound and altruistic as it might sound, it has to stop. We as women are hurting and harming each other and ourselves far more by and through the way we compete with one another. It's really sad and dismissive, and we should be lifting each other up and being a strength to show each other the beauty that we all have and we all are. And I will say that, you know, as I was sitting there watching watching the show and seeing the camaraderie of the women and just falling in love with that and just saying, yes, finally, women are seeing what we can call ourselves to be. And with one another, I was talking to my dear friend, Arielle Ford, who's a, you know, many times over bestselling author. And she said, Kaylin, can you believe how nasty all of the viewers are that what they're posting about the women? It was a complete dichotomy. So what we were seeing on TV, which is how it should be, so polar opposite of what we're used to seeing. Usually what we see on TV isn't how it should be, but this time it was, with the women as an example. Behind the scenes, it was horrific. It was really what you are kind of talking about, Cheryl. And that goes back to, again, loving ourselves, when we really know ourselves, when we've really learned how to love ourselves, what that means, there is no space or place to be rude or to be unkind or to be judgmental or to harm another woman. All we want to do is lift one another. And that's what we have to get to. But we need more examples of that. We just
exactly.
do.
Exactly. And they were good. They were good examples. And I do have to say, I think, and I have seen this as I've gotten older and I've grown with other women who are older, I think we're far less competitive now and much more supportive of each other and more collaborative than when we were young. Now, I came from a generation we were all climbing that corporate ladder with not a lot of, you know, women mentors because they just weren't there. But I have seen that change. And it was nice to see that put out on a reality show where people could see that is kind of the antithesis. And I didn't read any of the comments, but I can imagine because that's our social media world where, you know, everyone can get on there and just trash everybody else, which is another sad thing. So now though, I want to get you to the good stuff. So as we got towards the end of The Bachelor, well, actually Gary, I guess there were three women, left, and he had gone to visit. This was another thing that had bothered me. He had gone to meet with each one of their families, and that was really nice because the families were all great and the families were all so concerned about, you know, their mothers and would this person be the right fit. And he was so charming with every single family. And then afterwards, when he met with these three women, he told every single woman he loved them. I mean, right. All three of them. So then we get down to these last two, and we had Leslie and Teresa. And then, of course, because, you know, it's a show, there's the fantasy suite and the cameras aren't allowed. We don't know what goes on there, but supposedly that's where they're supposed to ask the tough questions and get to know each other. So apparently behind closed doors, he had told each one of them that he was in love with them. And then after his night with Teresa, he gets up the next day and decides, no, he's really in love with Teresa. Mm-hmm. And proposes to her. There's the drama of the proposal. I was just hoping she would say, you know, let's get to know each other better. That would have been my happy ending there.
Agree.
And now they're supposed to get married, you know, in TV in January. Now, granted, the proposal took place in July, even though we just saw the show, but we're talking, that's only like 6 months that they haven't been in fantasy land. So I want to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about Leslie, because that did feel authentic to me. And she... Yeah. Beyond devastated. I think she truly thought he was gonna choose her, you know. And apparently I think she had been in a relationship before where she had been dumped, because I remember in this scene with her family, her daughter was very concerned. She said, I don't want my mother to get hurt again.
Yeah.
And then Leslie says, after he's dumped her, she says, he made me whole. I'm broken that he didn't choose me. So I would start with first, what is your reaction to that? What does Leslie need to do not to have this happen again? It's obviously twice now. Beattie,
well,
you can give it a shot.
You know, Leslie, like women everywhere, we need to do a much better job in assessing who somebody is and isn't. And her comment about making me whole, of course, goes back to, you know, my belief. You know, I use this little analogy all the time that the relationship needs to be the icing on the cake, and we need to be the cake. Yep. We need to be solid, and hopefully the relationship is going to add something to an already solid person, solid cake, who knows who they are, feel good about themselves. And it is a wonderful, terrific addition to somebody who feels whole. Now, Leslie has said that she was cheated on a couple of times. She had a couple of divorces. And I think that she was extremely authentic in the devastation that she felt as a result of being lied to. But this is consistent. Jerry Turner is a pathological liar. Now, obviously, you know, I cannot formally diagnose him because I can't formally diagnose anybody unless I see them. But he is a consistent liar. So this didn't surprise me at all that he could have told a number of the other women that, you know, they were going to be the ones and that he loved them. This is a man who's got such serious emotional and psychological problems. And unfortunately, again, the women wanting to find love, wanting to have that connection, wanting to have that happily ever after, not knowing the ingredients, not knowing about the importance of assessment. It's understandable, and I'm not blaming or judging, that they would have been thrown and devastated. But he's a con man. He's a great, great, great con man. And he conned us, and we let him get away with it in this country, other than podcasts like this. I mean, I reached out to probably 25 reporters, including Katie Carrick, who I've met here in East Hampton, and Sonny Hostin. I know these people. They would not take this conversation and take it further. They didn't want to do it.
Well, that's interesting. So I'm glad we're having you here, though. So, Carolyn, what was your take on Leslie?
Yeah. Well, I think going back to what Beattie said, there is no way that we can truly know who we are falling in love with, or if we're truly even in love, or if it's even a healthy, potentially a healthy relationship with a potential future, until we spent at least a good solid year. Agree with that 100%. And when they're filming, they're together for 4 weeks. 4 weeks of really in overall a rushed non-reality experience. And then even though they had several months after, they had to keep it quiet. So they couldn't be together, experience each other, be out in public, go through life under contract. So, and then the fact that they're getting married right away. So I know I'll get back to your question. So for her to say, with her history of men and relationships and being hurt and being lied to and being cheated on, that just from 1 month of experience with this man that she was sharing with other women, that she was made whole by this new guy.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I don't care what a liar potentially or pathological person Gary is. She has to learn to do better than that for herself. And that's what women need to learn.
Yeah.
And that a man doesn't make you whole. Again, like Beattie said. Right. It is true. We are the cake, the relationship. It's the frosting. It's the good stuff. And when she, it really bothered me because in one sense, I loved how real and incredibly down to earth and authentic Leslie was overall. But the minute she said, this beautiful, strong, authentic woman said, you know, no one chooses me. Now she's a freaking victim. Right. Stop that. You're not a victim. Stop right. playing victim. Because also energetically, you're continuing to attract that then and right. being that. Right. So I didn't care for that. It broke my heart. I'd love to help her through that. Beattie and I could do some great work with her.
true,
but,
true.
You know, so... That's my feeling on it. But again, I do have to say, when you said it again this next time, Beattie, that you reached out to all these people, including Katie, and no one responded, that, you know, is not how the press works. When the press has a juicy story, they're on like white on rice. And so what that's kind of telling me is that they know that there's more politically going on behind the scenes on the talent side and on the creative and on the art side to keep this good stuff going. And they're not going to monkey with the powers that be. Yeah. And so I think we do have to leave a tiny bit of space because we can become so quickly judgmental with one another without having full facts, you know, on any side that there, you know, we may have been, you know, Gary may be this ho-dunk, golly gosh guy from Indiana who is older, who has his own neuroses, has his own crap, who comes in, is chosen to be the Golden Bachelor. His ego gets involved and he's told what he can and can't do and he signed contracts and now all of a sudden he, you know, we don't know. We don't know. But I do think that we need to leave more space for, again, seeking to learn, seeking to understand, starting with ourselves, pulling our power into place so that regardless of what we see on TV or what we see in front of us in life, that we are not again, going back to, we're not the victim. We're not the fool. We can be entertainment, but not our own demise. Yeah,
I have to say that when you mentioned that Leslie said that statement and he didn't choose me, that brought me back to when you're a 13-year-old girl. That's what 13-year-old girls, oh, he didn't choose me, or he didn't choose me to go to the prom. We're supposedly, by the time we get to her age, to have outgrown that, to understand we get to make the choices, you know?
But the thing is, Cheryl, you know, whether we're talking about 13-year-olds, and I've been doing some consulting at East Hampton High School where the kids are nowhere when it comes to relationships. I mean, the fact of the matter is, and Kaylin and I agree, I mean, she needs, you know, she needs obviously to do some additional work. But I want to just relate a quote from the Katie Couric interview. She called him on this and she said, you know, there were, you know, some inconsistencies. And this is what he said, which is why I don't think it had to do with the ABC and behind the scene. He says, yes, in fact, yes, I dated a number of women, but then it became an issue. God, how manipulative, of how you define whether you're in a relationship. There's just enough truth in this article, Turner added, but I have so many positives to think about that I haven't really given the article a whole lot of thought. My feeling is that, you know, I'm sure that Teresa is going to marry him, but I'm really hoping that she has a lawyer who's going to make sure that she has an ironclad prenup, because this woman, I predict, is going to be in a lot of trouble if, in fact, she goes ahead with this marriage, which I think she's probably going to go ahead.
Let's talk about, we spent a lot of time on Leslie, but here's Teresa now, who's also, after 4 weeks, right, madly in love with this guy immediately, you know, and that romantic said, of course I'll marry you. As I said, my happy ending would have been, Gary, I really like you and let's spend time getting to know each other, but she didn't say that. And now the fact that even though it's 6 months and we don't know how much time they did, that they're getting married on TV, which I'm sure they're probably, I don't know how that works, they get money for that or whatever, but what you've spent, talk about Teresa, what do you think is going on there? Kaylin, I'll start with you.
I could get a lot of backlash for this. I think that they're a perfect pair. I think that there's a lot of ego involved for different reasons, a lot of needing to be seen for validation. I think that they each know what they're doing more than not. I think that it's just an opinion. I think that I thought she was not as deep, not as emotionally evolved as Leslie, even though Leslie has her stuff to work on to heal, but she was Teresa was sharp enough to know what she needed to do to get her man and to win. And I think that a lot of that happened in the fantasy suite and through lots of different verbal and vocal demonstration, probably. And I think that, so I'm trying to be really careful. I probably would normally say more. But I think that they are, I think in on an ego level, they're the real reveal test that I have, right? I would say that they probably are both ego mates.
What happens to ego mates when they get together? I mean,
well, I will tell you, I've actually matched two narcissists together, and narcissists can have an amazing created relationship that looks beautiful to the world. And so that makes them happy. That fulfills the superficiality that is the lack of depth that they have. And it may not be a rewarding, fulfilling relationship on a spiritual level, but that works for them. So it may be okay. Hey, this is something I'm excited to talk to Beatty about at a different time, to share my findings and my tests. But yeah. So that those are my very careful thoughts.
So Beatty, what would your advice be to Teresa at this point?
My advice would be, as Dr. Carol Lieberman and I concurred, to get out as soon as possible. And
this is not
going to happen. And I do really, really hope, I mean, she's been in finances, apparently she's done fairly well, that she has her lawyer draw up a truly ironclad prenuptial agreement. I wouldn't give this marriage more than, you know, a couple of years. I think that the reality of this man, you know, the sleaziness of him, the manipulation and everything else that we've been talking about, I think it's going to come out. And I'm very concerned about Teresa. You know, I think that your take, Kaylin, is interesting, and maybe they do have a deal in some sort of a way that they've agreed that they're going to be the golden couple of America and make a lot of money on national television. But I think the message to women is a very serious, serious message, and we really need to become smarter and wiser. And not make excuses. I mean, these lies, I mean, they're serious, serious, whether you want to call them misrepresentations or lies, that the country and the media have chosen to ignore.
Yep.
And I see that as a real problem.
Agreed.
When we ignore red flags that are just, they're right in our face.
Yep.
And that's what loneliness and naivete and lack of relationship education, all of these things contribute to the terrible divorce rates, the terrible domestic violence statistics that are only increasing. We're not doing better with all of the, you know, books and shows and therapists, etc.
You're right. The depression, the suicide, the obesity, the addiction, it's all the same.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you both one last question. This has been fantastic before we wrap up, because you really said what you think, which is terrific. I love it. Hopefully we won't get sued by anybody. I don't think we will. But anyway, I just want to say there's a lot of women who are listening to this podcast out there who, you know, they may not be expecting that fairy tale ending. I don't know. That's, I guess everybody wants the fairy tale ending, but they're out there. I hear this from women all the time. They're disenchanted with online dating. They're disenchanted with offline dating. They're like, where are all the good men? They're not there. What hope? I'm going to ask you one or two pieces of hope you could give to women looking for love right now. So Beatty, what would your quick two pieces of advice be?
I think there are good men out there. I think that we have to get away from our computers. I mean, if that's part of what you're wanting to do online dating, that's just one part. I think we need to put ourselves out there. I think we need to go to synagogues and churches and events and not be afraid to say hello and to start a conversation. And one never knows what can happen from, you know, just hello, you know, The line is too long, or isn't it a beautiful day? And I think that we should not give up hope. And as I say, that so many of the women that I treated in Sarasota, Florida, who were in their 70s and 80s, they did not give up. They found love, they found sex, and they were living the good life in relationships with men of all ages and stages in life, women who were in their 70s and 80s.
Yay. Kaylin, what would you say?
Yeah, do not give up on the fairy tale, right? You can, no matter what age. I've matched people that have been married through me in their 80s. And so you can find love. You can find amazing love. But again, it starts with you. Because if you don't have it here with yourself first, if you don't honor and value, I know I'm repeating myself, but I can't even repeat it enough. If you don't really know your value, if you don't honor your value, if you don't, and part of that value system, it's like I spoke at the event, part of the value is listening to that beautiful inner voice that's talking to you, that's saying, hey, don't do this, pay attention to this. This doesn't feel right in my gut. If you ignore all of that, you're going to continue to be on a path of toward pain. But if you can learn to love yourself, honor your value, listen to that inner voice, even just question it. It doesn't mean the inner voice is always exactly what you think it is, but it is enough of something to seek to understand what it is and where it's coming from. Check things out and then know that there are really lovely, incredible men and people out there that you can be in love with and who have done their own work too, that want a real relationship, and you can have that buddy experience and that love experience and that great sex experience. You can. Matter what you come from, and also, yes, with technology, with everything we have online, again, it just comes back to love. If you have the center and the grounding of loving and knowing yourself and honoring yourself and listening to that voice and surrounding yourself by smart, great truth tellers, you'll be okay.
And keeping yourself healthy, keeping yourself healthy, keeping yourself fit, keeping yourself looking attractive, making sure that you exercise, making sure that you get enough sleep, because the physicality is a part, it's a part of our reality. So you can't let yourself go and expect that you're going to put yourself out there and, have people necessarily, be attracted to you and approach you. Yeah. So again, it does. It all really begins with us.
It does. That's great, great advice. And here's to love for everyone. Here's to finding real love. Here's to, most importantly, really learning to love yourself, because that is the first most important step. And I can't thank both of you enough for being on today. This was such a great conversation. So to contact Beattie Cohen, you can visit her website at beattiecohen.com, and you can visit mylovedesign.com to learn much more about Kaylin and her exciting new platform for finding love. So I thank you both so much. This has been a great show.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Cheryl. Thank you.
Fun.
Hey, Kaylin, let's do next week, okay?
Yeah, this was, ladies, this was great. Thank you so much. It was really, really awesome. It was really fun. And let's hope we get some attention with this one. I mean, I want women to listen to this. You just have such important information that came out of this that, maybe we can shake up some people and be on the front line of getting out there with some of these messages.
We know it could be be kind of cool too, maybe, might be if Beattie and I did something either on a weekly or a monthly basis that was a course, really teaching and inspiring healing in women so that we can teach them how to love themselves, what that really looks like.
That's a great idea. I would love to sponsor something like that through the Three Tomatoes. I think that is brilliant and so needed. So needed.
Yeah. And Cheryl too. I mean, really, the formula. I mean, is unromantic and unsexy. I mean, people really and truly need to learn how to assess, how to make assessments, whether or not it's with friendships, whether or not it's with love.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I mean, we've really got to be careful who we let into our lives.
Yes.
We do.
Right.
Yeah. So if you want to talk about that, let's definitely the three of us talk about it. But and I say that too because we're going into this new year, coming out of years starting with COVID. We were already disconnected before COVID, and then it became far, far worse. And now we're all like deer in headlights in a state of shock, not knowing what to trust or believe anymore in every direction, whether it's with our own physicians, it's with our politicians, it's with our
partners, so true.
It's our kids.
Right.
And so it's just kind of like, okay, how do we do or provide something for humans, starting with women? Because as women, we're really powerful beings.
Right. So powerful.
We really are. And so if we can find a way to teach women how to be that and do that, just think of how amazing.
That would be so great. I would love to do this. I love the idea. So let's
Time
to think about it and how it would work. And it's a great idea. And it's something I would love to have us do. So I love you both. Thank you.
Love you. Great. We'll talk soon. Hugs and kisses. Okay.
Have a good weekend. And happy holidays.
Yes, you as well. Bye. Talk to you, Kaylin. Bye.
Okay, bye.